podcast in association with the FWA.
Genuinely wants to spend the rest of his career at Tottenham Hotspur. I think he's mad.
I'm sorry, how can he escape Flash? It's unbelievable.
Mercy.
So this is an obvious snap. It's a team in great form at home against a team who just aren't that good.
I think he'll score some goals in League One in 17-10 any time. Deadly from set pieces and in the air.
Right, the boss is up for manager of the month. They've been phenomenal. They're odds against. Love it, love it, love it.
Subscribe to The Punt on iTunes, listen on Audio Boom, or look out for the link on Twitter or on William Hill's Facebook page.
Hello, everyone. A warm welcome along to the William Hill Punt podcast. Good to have your company. Dave Kellner here in the presenter's chair. We're going to spin through the four Premier League games in a few moments' time, the televised ones this weekend, in the company of Derek McGovern and our guest from the FWA. It's Duncan Wright this week, the senior sports writer for The Sun Online, who has joined us on the podcast. We'll hear from Pete Farris, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross with their best bets in the Football League as well, and Sam Norris will have a bet in Europe for us. First of all, a warm welcome along to Duncan from The Sun. Duncan, good morning to you.
Good morning, you all right?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad at all, thanks. Looking forward to this weekend.
And Derek McGovern joins us as well. Derek, how are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm great, Dave. Nice to have you back after your month of scouting.
Yeah, back on the podcast. Looking forward to it, actually. Duncan, let's start by, before we get stuck into these televised games, let's talk about Marcelo Bielsa. He's caused quite a stir in the last week or so. And if I ever want a PowerPoint presentation creating, I know who to call, because Marcelo Bielsa produced a perfect one last night, and it was all the rage on Twitter.
Yeah, it was. It was one of those where the press conference was called, and there were some suspicions he was going to quit. So you got half of the journalists going down there believing they were onto a pearler of a story that Bielsa was going to quit in the wake of this Spygate row. And lo and behold, he then gives them a whole lecture, I think it was 66 minutes, wasn't it, going through the detailed tactical analysis of all the sides. And it was a brilliant story, but not quite the story that the journalists thought they were getting. And basically, his actions have split journalism as well as they split football. There was an immediate reaction was one of dismay at going out and spying on your rivals. But now I think as people have kind of got used to the idea, they think, well, has it done any harm at all? It's not something we're used to in England at all, but it's something that's gone on in other countries around the world. And importantly, it's not illegal. So I think there's a certain feeling now that some of us have got to suck it up and say, well, fair play to that. And certainly, he's shown some character coming out and just basically saying, yep, I did it. I've done it all season. So what are you going to do about it?
Yeah. What's your reading of the situation, Derek? Spygate, is it morally wrong? We know it's not legally wrong.
I think it's fantastic. More of it. Probably something Don Revy would have done if he was manager of Leeds now. It's just tremendous. What would you rather have? You know, it's gamesmanship, I suppose, but I'd rather have that than players diving left, right and centre to win penalties. That really does stick in the throat. If I was a Leeds fan, I'd be absolutely made up with Bielsa. Other fans are going to, you know, turn their noses up, but come on. It's easy. Well, what I'd like to know basically is what... I know he gave this presentation last night, but I'm still not 100% sure exactly what he learned from the spying. I mean, I'd love someone to, you know...
Can't you really get that much out of it? Is there? Then he's not already seen with all those stats. So what's he going to really learn from spying? You're right.
Yeah, it was a strange situation. And Frank Lampard's come back out subsequently, Duncan, and said that all teams in the Championship go into that depth of analysis. Do you believe him or not?
I think all teams with resources will do, and I think the depth of analysis, it's out there on certain software programs you can get, and you know you can get that kind of information. So I think they will all go through it. I'm not sure that all individual managers will do it to the depth that Bielsa does. I think they'll employ other members of staff to do some of that hard work just to come up with the relevant details. But it's nothing new in terms of the depth of analysis, but Bielsa's attitude and his... what he's brought to Leeds and what he's brought to the game in this country has got to be applauded. And I think Derek's right. If you're a Leeds fan, all of a sudden you've got someone there. He's straight away become a hero, isn't he, to the Leeds fans, and someone to really get behind. He's already leading them to a promotion charge this season. So on top of that, you've got a real character in the shape of a manager, and you can understand why the Leeds fans love him.
OK, let's get stuck into this weekend then. We'll start with Wolves versus Leicester, which is a 12:30 kickoff on Saturday from Molineux. Wolves are 5-4 to win the game here with William Hill. The draw 21-10 with Leicester City in the betting at 5-2. The enhancements, Raúl Jiménez to score and Wolves to win, was 3-1. That's 7-2. And if you fancy Jamie Vardy to score in a Leicester win, that was 7-2. That's been boosted out to 4-1. Derek, I think this is an interesting game tactically because we all know Wolves have got a terrific record against the Big Six, and that's because they like to counter-attack, give the opposition the ball and then hit them on the break. That's what Leicester like to do as well. But the onus, given this game is at Molineux, is on Wolves to come forward, and Leicester might be looking to pick them off if that's the case.
Yeah, quite. Yeah, I think you're probably right there. Wolves have only won 4 of 11 at home, so 5-4. You know what the bookies take is 4, 5-4. In my case, about £200 a week. I think. I don't know. Leicester, the football in equivalent of a Salman Rushdie novel, it is impossible to read. And then Wolves, I mean, you know, they made a bigger mug of me this season than I have made of myself. So the only thing I can say with any certainty in here is that I haven't got a clue about this game, and that tells me one thing, Dave. I'll definitely be having a bet on it. I'm going to go for Leicester for the reasons you've explained and the fact that they're not 5-4. You know, they're a backable price. Wolves are way too short. But honestly, no result would surprise me in this. But, I will be having a bet on Leicester.
Yeah, Leicester are 5-2 to win the game. Leicester have won back-to-back games away from home in the Premier League, beating Chelsea and Everton 1-0. They have been dumped out of the FA Cup by Newport, though, Duncan. And many people upset at the team they played in that game against Newport, given they are safe in the league. And if you're not going for cup glory, what's the point in Leicester City?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think some Leicester fans are sort of perhaps spoiled by the fact that they won the Premier League a few years ago, aren't they? I think they expect them to be up there challenging for the league now, and cup should be perhaps what they're aiming at. I can't understand this thing about Claude Puel now, though. The football may be a bit boring, and I haven't been there, I must confess, every week to watch it. But they're eighth in the Premier League, jobbing along nicely. Why on earth would you want to get rid of a manager who's delivered that for a club like Leicester? Because it's not as if there's rubbish teams above them in the league. They're pretty much at the top of the rest of the also-rans in the Premier League. I know I'm going to get shot down for saying that because Leicester fans say it's such a turgid way of playing. And I know as a West Ham supporter, having sat through Sam Allardyce football at West Ham for many years, you soon got bored of it. But it's just a strange situation there at the King Power Stadium. And I think playing away from home probably lets them off the leash a bit. And I think Wolves as well, the loss of Bowley for suspension will be a major loss. He's a terrific defender for them. And I'll share Derek's optimism for Leicester away, actually, because it's the kind of result they've gone away and got. You know, they've lost to Southampton and have lost to Huddersfield, but going away to Wolves is the kind of place they go and get the result. It's such an inconsistent side, but I think they could do it this weekend.
What did you make to that Willy Bowley challenge that got him sent off against Manchester City? I thought it could have been a yellow card. It's maybe one of those situations where you give the player a yellow card and he has maybe 10 minutes in a sin bin, that sort of situation.
I'm not even sure it was that bad. For me, it wasn't a red. I mean, he's gone in, the studs are not necessarily up, the boots are down, and he's got the ball half a second before Bernardo Silva's come in and made contact with him. It's not a red card. I mean, I won't give a foul because he's gone in hard and he's off the floor, but he's not gone in there to do an intent. And I think that was harsh against Bowley, harsh against Wolves, but it wouldn't have changed the outcome of the game against City, though.
OK, let's move on to the big game this weekend. It's Arsenal versus Chelsea at the Emirates. Arsenal are 2-1 to win it. This is a 5:30 kickoff on Saturday. The draw is 5-2 with Chelsea in the betting at 13-10. The enhanced odds on the William Hill website. This is, of course, hashtag your odds as well. So if you want a bet that's not on the website or on the app pricing up, do tweet at William Hill using that hashtag your odds. We've got Alexandre Lacazette to score in an Arsenal win. That was 7-2. That's been boosted to 4-1. And Eden Hazard to score in a Chelsea win was 5-2. That's been enhanced to 11-4. Duncan, Arsenal are undoubtedly going through something of a mid-season lull at the moment. It was a pretty nondescript performance against West Ham last weekend, and with Mesut Ozil being marginalised and Aaron Ramsey running down the rest of his contract, that early season optimism under Unai Emery seems to have dissipated pretty quickly.
Yeah, and I think what we've seen is actually Unai Emery has turned Arsenal into a worse defensive side than Arsene Wenger had it. And if you can imagine, that was why Wenger was driven out in all intents and purposes, because he couldn't sort out a defence that was shipping goals for years. They've got a worse record this year. And they now look like a side that don't know where they're going or what they're being asked to do with the manager. He's making so many changes. Admittedly, they've had injuries, some at the back, but it's in the key midfield area. He's even been resting Lucas Torreira on the bench and Aaron Ramsey on the bench. Mesut Ozil doesn't even get involved. Where's the creativity in the side? They look like a club that's searching for an identity at the moment. And Arsenal 2-1 at home, you know, who'd have thought that a couple of seasons ago? And I think the one thing you can be certain of is this game's going to have goals. Admittedly, a Chelsea side that are struggling up front sometimes, but Arsenal just can't keep a clean sheet, can they? So I think Chelsea will go there full of optimism, and Arsenal will probably be a bit of trepidation, because they lose this. Was it 9 points to be adrift of Chelsea now? And that's Champions League football probably out the window for another season.
Yeah, it's a game, Derek, that I don't think I've looked forward to a game between Arsenal and Chelsea less than this one. Chelsea, as Duncan quite rightly said, are struggling to score at the moment. And Maurizio Sarri, he's quite honest in his post-match interviews. He says what he thinks, and he doesn't think, from a striking standpoint, they've got good enough players there.
No. But he's, you know, he had the summer, didn't he, to sort that. You know, if they haven't, it's down to him, I would suggest. He's playing the two key performers in his side, out of the set, Eden Hazard and Kante, out of position. You know, that just doesn't make any sense to me. But they'll win this, because basically they're playing Arsenal. I mean, until recently, Arsenal weren't able to buy a win against Chelsea. It got so bad they were thinking of buying a rest. But in recent seasons, they played 5 times last season, including the Community Shield. Chelsea never won one of them. The season before, they played 3 times. Arsenal won 2 of them. That sounds like I'm going to go for Arsenal, but I couldn't, not after watching them against West Ham last week. What Duncan said about them searching for an identity, yep, that was 90 minutes. That summed that up perfectly. You just don't know. They're like Man United under Mourinho. What are they doing? Where is the plan? There was nothing there. And I like the look of 13-10 Chelsea here. I still think that if they got Harry Kane in their side, they'd probably win the league. Not now, but at the start of the season, if they had a Harry Kane, they'd win. In my book, they'd be favourites above City. But it's not working for them up front. But it doesn't matter, because they're playing against such a ropey defence this weekend. Eden Hazard will run riot. So yeah, Chelsea for me.
Do look at that enhancement as well. Eden Hazard to score in a Chelsea win was 5-2. That's been enhanced to 11-4.
Whilst many people's eyes will be taken by the Red Bull Leipzig-Borussia Dortmund game in Germany this week, there may well be better value lower down the Bundesliga. As Augsburg take on Fortuna Dusseldorf in what could be a bit of a six-pointer. They both sit just outside the drop zone, with Augsburg only a point clear of safety and Fortuna Dusseldorf 3 points better off. Now, this looks a great opportunity for the away side to pull further clear of trouble. They've been on a nice little run of form of late, despite their league position, winning their last 3 in succession, including the high-profile scalp of Dortmund just before the winter break, and extending that winning run to 4 games that was very possible against an Augsburg side languishing toward the foot of the form table, as well as the actual table. You'd have to go all the way back to October to find the last time that Augsburg won a game in the league. They've only won twice since August, yet they are odds on for this match. I couldn't go anywhere near them at that price, and it makes Dusseldorf a must-play at 3-1. Okay, their away form hasn't been sparkling this season, but they did pick up their first away win of the year in the league in the final game before the winter break at Hanover, and away draws against Bayern and Leipzig offer a little bit of hope too. So it's Fortuna Dusseldorf who get the nap this week at 3-1, which looks an absolutely standout price.
Let's move on to Sunday's games then, starting with Huddersfield versus Manchester City. A 1:30 kickoff this one. Huddersfield are 20-1 to win it. The draw 15-2, Manchester City in the betting at 1-8. Laurent Dupoitre to score in a Huddersfield win was 40-1. That's now 50-1. And Leroy Sané to score in a Manchester City win was 11-10. That's been enhanced to 6-5. There's certainly been a feeling of inevitability about Huddersfield's demise this season. They did well to finish 16th last season. They haven't made the necessary signings to compete and strengthen that squad. And David Wagner's resigned now, and the club are set to appoint his successor after this game on Sunday. But if that man's in the crowd, Derek, he might not want the job after seeing what City are going to do to them this weekend.
Well, yeah, exactly. You wouldn't want to take the job before this game, would you, if there's somebody in line? Anyway, I mean, City at 1-8, I think that's the shortest odds for an away outfit in the history of betting. I don't think Persia were that short against the Spartans. I've never seen anything so short. But there's a good reason for it. It's Manchester City, away team, Huddersfield, the home team. I've got a lot of sympathy for Wagner because I watched Huddersfield a few times last season and I couldn't believe how bad they were. You remember me speaking a lot about Huddersfield last season, Dave, and I had a lot of money on them to go down. I can't believe they didn't. The fact that he kept that rabble up, I mean, you know, he's a proper manager. I don't know what's happened this season. They're probably in the position they deserve to be given that squad. Remember, they only squeaked up into the Premier League when they came up. So I don't think he's done anything wrong there. City are 42 points ahead of them after 22 games. It was 6-1 at the Etihad in August. I mean, you're going to need an abacus, I think, here, because it's one thing I would say, last season, the Raheem Sterling, a late goal, gave City a 2-1 win. But that was a different Huddersfield team now to this one. They're all at sea with no manager. You've got to look at the handicap betting here. I'm not telling anybody any secrets. City to win by 3 or more. What price is that? But, you know, to cover a 2-goal handicap, what's that, Dave? I can't get the price up.
City minus 2 is 11-10, which looks fair, doesn't it?
That's bigger than I thought it would be, to be honest, with the team at 1-8. I'll be doing that.
Yeah, I quite like that. City minus 2 at 11-10. And Derek, to go back to your big bet on Huddersfield to be relegated last season, once again ahead of your time, Derek. We say that on this podcast so often.
Doesn't get me any money that though, Dave. Do you think I should ask William Hill for my money back then?
By the way, Manchester City have scored 19 in their last 3 games in all competitions. That's one more than Huddersfield have managed in their last 36, Duncan. So this is going to be one-way traffic, isn't it?
I think so. Look, in slight defence of Huddersfield, I've got to say that I think it's 8 games they've lost by a single goal this season. So they're not far away from getting those draws, but the key to it is they just can't score goals. They can't score goals against the lesser sides. They're not going to do it against Man City. And you're right, that 11-10, I think I'll be going down and buying some money with that kind of price, because you'd have to favour City. And what's been impressive recently is they, unlike other sides, I remember Jose's Chelsea, they would take a 2 or 3 goal lead, then just ease up and kind of consolidate. Pep Guardiola doesn't do that, does he? He keeps the handbrake firmly off. And they go for the jugular, and you can easily see 4 or 5 goals being scored away from home by City. And they've got such an abundance of players that all want to play. You know, Gabriel Jesus coming in, taking the place of Sergio Aguero. Aguero's going to want to come back in from the start and get amongst the goals. And De Bruyne just wants matches. I think that's why he threw the strop when he came up against Burton, because he needs games to become match fit for the actual big matches that come late in the season. So I think he'll get a good run out, and you can just see it being one-way traffic, heavy defeat for Huddersfield, and City just putting the pressure on Liverpool again.
By the way, we have got, I know these markets are volatile, but we've got betting for the next permanent Huddersfield manager, which is due to be announced after this game. Jan Siewert is the 7-4 favourite at the moment. Aitor Karanka is 3-1. Christoph Buhler, 8-1. Slavisa Jukanovic is 10-1. Mark Hudson, who's taking charge for this game, is 12-1. Mikel Arteta is 12-1. Peter Stoger is 12-1, and it's 20-1 and bigger the remainder. So that's betting for next permanent Huddersfield Town manager. Apart from the money, though, Duncan, there's no real incentive there, is there? Because it would take a minor miracle for Huddersfield to survive in the Premier League this season.
Yeah, I think anyone who's going into a job knowing they're going to be in the Championship next season, because they're not going to, quite frankly, they're not going to stay in the Premier League, because they just don't score enough goals and they concede too many.
Last game this weekend televised is Fulham versus Spurs then. 4 o'clock kick-off on Sunday. Fulham are 9-2 to win it. The draw 12-5, with Spurs in the betting at 3-4. Enhanced odds, Alexander Mitrovic to score in a Fulham win. Was 11-2. That's been enhanced to 13-2. And he scored in all 3 of his Premier League games against Spurs as well. And if you fancy Spurs, Christian Eriksen to score in a Spurs win was 3-1. That's now 7-2. Duncan, I've definitely seen an upturn in performance since Claudio Ranieri took over as boss at Fulham, but they've still only picked up 9 points in 9 games since he took charge, and they are vulnerable defensively, Fulham.
Vulnerable defensively or just completely shocking defensively. I mean, 49 goals conceded. They've got a worse defence than anyone else in the Premier League, and no matter who he plays at the back, they just seem to not be able to compete at that level. The one saving grace for them is that Tottenham haven't got Harry Kane or Heung-Min Song available. So it's a case of who's going to score the goals for Tottenham, and that gives Fulham an opportunity, because they do compete in matches. They just always shoot themselves in the foot by conceding stupid goals. It means they end up having to score 3 goals to get a point or 3 points, and that's been beyond them this season. And it's a big test for Tottenham without Harry Kane and Heung-Min Son, and it's up to Fernando Llorente and Dele Alli or Lucas Moura to step up and score the goals. But Fulham now need to, this is the time for them. They won't have a better opportunity to get a result against Tottenham. Even a draw would be quite good for them in this current situation. They desperately need 3 points, obviously, as the season goes on, to save themselves, but I think even a draw would be good for them, and they've got a chance.
Yeah, if you fancy Fulham or the draw in this game, you're looking at Fulham +1 on the handicap. That's available at 21-20, so a shade of odds against. Derek, I actually think Fulham are value in this game. They might be missing Moussa Sissoko as well, who's had a good season for Spurs. He limped off against Manchester United in that loss last week at Wembley. Spurs suddenly have some issues.
Yeah, I mean, the inactivity in the transfer market in summer is probably coming back to haunt them now. I'm not saying Pochettino and Daniel Levy are cheap, but I think they're saving up for a rainy century. they haven't got much of a backup, really, Llorente and Moura. Well, Moura's done all right. I'm not sure about Llorente. Thing is, it's Fulham, isn't it? And only two teams they've beaten in the last 18 games, Southampton and Huddersfield. Southampton had Mark Hughes as manager then, so that doesn't count. How bad are they? Well, they're 5 points behind Cardiff. There's a clue. I don't care if Spurs haven't got Harry Kane. You look at their price, not far off even money. Compare that to 1-2-8 Manchester City or Huddersfield. I think Spurs are something to bet. I'm back here, I really do.
Okay.
Yeah, I just can't. I mean, I watched Fulham against Liverpool earlier in the season, and I thought, they got beat, I think it's 3-1 or something like that. They're not that bad a side. And I backed them a few times at big prices after that. Yet another of my losing bets, Dave. They've taken me for absolute mugs, and I'm not going to make that mistake again. Tottenham will win, and they'll win well.
3-4 Spurs for Derek, then.
It's a bit funny, though, isn't it? They've had that yoga fight this week, haven't they? Mitrovic and Abubakar Kamara had that fight at the yoga session. But things like that can sometimes galvanise squads. It can go two ways. I mean, it can split squads apart. But you saw, I think, when Bellamy and Jon Arnarisa, wasn't it, the golf club incident,
right,
that
yeah.
galvanised Liverpool all those years ago. And you wouldn't put it against... you wouldn't bet against, but you probably would if you look at Fulham's record. But you wouldn't be surprised if it galvanised Fulham and they started showing some spirit around it. But I'll share your thoughts about Fulham, though, Derek. They flattered to deceive on a number of occasions and probably let us down when we thought they were going to do well. But I just feel Tottenham look knackered. They looked as though they're very leggy.
Yeah.
They haven't got a deep squad, and that could come back to haunt them.
Okay, chaps, let's finish this podcast with your best bets this weekend. Duncan, you're the guest this weekend, so give us your number one selection.
I'm going to go for Eden Hazard to score in a Chelsea 3-1.
Okay, Eden Hazard to score in a Chelsea 3-1 win. I'll put that together. Derek, you're Eden Hazard, by the way, to score in a Chelsea 3-1 win is 28-1. That'll do.
God, yes, very nice. Very nice if that comes up. I'm going to go just on the price alone here, Dave. Burnley at 9-2 to win at Watford. I mean, it's just too big. I'm sorry, whichever way you look at it. It's Burnley has shown a little bit of form at long last. Watford, I mean, yeah, they're capable, but they're capable of being useless on the day as well. They're one of those sides that are easily beatable. I can't let that pass Burnley 9-2.
I fancy Leicester as well at 5-2.
Yeah,
so I'll go.
I'll second that.
Yeah, I'll go with Leicester at 5-2. So for the purpose of this treble, I'll put in Chelsea to win the game just 3-1 without Eden Hazard scoring, because the anytime win cast only available as singles only, but that is available at 28-1. So Chelsea to win the game 3-1 is 16 16-1. Goes with Burnley at 9-2 and Leicester at 5-2, and that's over 325-1 as a treble. That treble this weekend. Duncan, thank you for your company.
No worries, chaps.
Thank you, Derek.
Pleasure.
And we'll finish off this podcast by taking a look at the Football League in the company of Pete Farries, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross. And we'll start with Pete's pick in the Championship.
Hello, my name's Pete Farries, and on the Championship podcast this week, I'm taking QPR at 23-20 as my nap. Preston have been struggling for a while now, haven't won since the 15th of December, and while they've been playing some OK teams in that bracket, I really don't see how they can pick up a win here. Their away form, not awful, 2 wins from the last 5, I suppose, is middling, but they're not really good enough to defeat a QPR side who, at home, have been very decent of late. 3 wins from 5 is very good indeed, and the job that Steve McLaren is doing at QPR under difficult circumstances does deserve a huge amount of credit. For me, Preston are a side who will be absolutely fine. They've got a good manager and there is still plenty of time for them to move forward in the future. But QPR at home are tough and I think should have enough for Preston. So 23-20, QPR is my nap of the week in the Championship. Let's hear from Gav Pushlowski and get his thoughts on League One.
I have to say that I think my nap in League One this weekend is absolutely glorious. I'm actually opposing the side I put up as my nap last weekend. Southend let me down with a defeat at home to Plymouth. So I'm opposing them with their trip to West Yorkshire to take on Bradford. Bradford to win at home are 13-10, and that is outstanding in my opinion. We'll look at Southend United away from home. 4 defeats in 5 games on their travels. Only 2 goals in 5 as well. So Southend losing on the road, not scoring hardly at all. Up against Bradford, who have won 4 straight at home and they've won 2-0, 4-0, 2-0, 3-0. 11 goals in 4 games, keeping clean sheets in every single one. So not only are Bradford a real play at 13-10, you could look at the handicaps in this one, and that's where the prices get absolutely wonderful. -1 for Bradford is 100-30. -2 is 17-2. I think Bradford win. I think Bradford wallop Southend. Bradford my nap at 13-10. Looking at League Two, here's Al Ross.
Not sure Crawley or Port Vale are featured on the League Two map this season, so here's a first. It's a pick 'em game that's really not. Crawley have won 8 of their 14 home league games this season, that is as many as leaders Lincoln, so a match against the side below them in the table should see them odds on, particularly if the visitors have only won 3 of 13 on the road. Yet Crawley are 8-5, Port Vale 17-10, that is basically the same price. Crawley have won their last 2 at home, one of which saw them beat the team currently in 5th despite playing for an hour with 10 men. Crawley have lost their last 2, but they were only by 1 goal, both were away at top 10 sides, so Crawley's performances don't justify their big price, and the price is definitely not based on Port Vale's form. Their last league win was in November. They've taken just 4 points from 7 games since then. 4 of those are against sides in the bottom 10. They've only 1 point from the last possible 12. Only Notts County are below them in the League 2 form table, and goal hope Tom Pope hasn't netted a league goal since December the 8th. So an easy one this week. It's Crawley 8-5.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to the Punt Podcast. It's been a pleasure being back on this week. Duncan Wright was our guest from the FWA, so thanks to him for his contribution. He's the senior sports reporter for The Sun Online. Derek McGovern was superb as usual. And Pete Farries, Gav Pushlowski and Al Ross with the tips in the Football League. And not to forget Sam Norris, who gave us a best bet in Europe as well. Check out all the betting, by the way, on the William Hill website and on the app. If you're looking at the website, go to sports.williamhill.com. Plenty of enhancements throughout the course of the weekend of football as well. Until next time, thank you for tuning in, and we'll speak again on the Punt Podcast in the not too distant future.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.